Good evening and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, June 29th, 2000. In the fireside room this afternoon, Jan Hughes continues her series on discovering your secret self. Tonight, celebrating your creativity. Let's listen in.
It is called Discovering Your Secret Self, Celebrating Your Creativity. Okay. I didn't think I'd see this again. Again, I do appreciate this crowd here, a small, intimate, wonderful crowd. We're going to have a good time. As you know, I have been talking about the unconscious self this week, and sometimes when we talk about the unconscious, we start thinking about deep-seated, you know, thoughts or aspects of our personality that we have repressed. And actually, some of that stuff that we have repressed is really good stuff. You know, like how we were when we were children in terms of our creative spirits. When children know how to play and they know how to draw. And some kind of way that falls away from us pretty early. Pretty early in our lives that starts falling away. I had a child in therapy last week who was 10 years old. And I was suggesting to her, you know, we could go in here and do some things, you know, with the art supplies. And she said, oh no, I don't draw. You know, I can't draw. She's 10.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, too sad, you know. But that's what our culture does to us. If it's not a good product or something, you know, and very early we learn to deny that parts of ourselves. I wanted to start today by showing you some interesting slides that I found. But first, I want to ask you, you can answer if you like, or you can just answer inside. Either way, it's fine with me. Lots of permission, nothing goes wrong in this workshop. Do you consider yourself a creative person? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You do? No? Yeah, we have yes, we have no, we have. I want you to think right now on a scale of 0 to 10. With zero being somebody that's not creative at all, and 10 being, you know, an artist or whatever you think a very creative person might be. Where do you put yourself on that scale right now at the beginning of this workshop, 0 to 10? Just think of a number. And I want you to remember that number at the end of the workshop, because I want to hear from you if it changed by the end of the workshop. My goal is to shift you toward upping it up at least a couple of notches on your own creativity. Welcome. First, let me see, I've got a couple of things that I found while I was preparing for this workshop that I was just delighted with. And here is the first one. Uh-oh. Not that their writing on it is very, very important. In fact, I don't even care about it. Look at these five shapes. Which one is different from the others?
B.
Oh, we have a couple of answers. Who says B is different? And why is that?
It's got corners.
Got corners?
Nothing rounded.
It's nothing rounded. Nothing rounded. Okay, who said another one?
D.
And why is that?
I thought it was half the shape.
That's good. Yeah. Someone else?
C.
And why?
It's incomplete.
I thought C. It's got a big chunk out of the middle, doesn't it? You know, it's the only one with a chunk out of the middle there. Anybody say A? A has no points. Did you see that? There's no points in A. I mean, there's just a whole lot of ways to look at this, isn't there? No doubt about it. Absolutely. The truth is, you may know this part already, our brain consists of a left side and a right side. And we've learned a whole lot about the brain from people who get a stroke that hurts one side of their brain, or auto accidents, things like that. The left side of our brains control our verbal activity. All of our words are stored over there on the left side. The right side of our brain holds the images. It cannot. If you are injured on your left side of your brain, you will be unable to speak. But the other night when we were having ice cream, I was talking with a physical therapist who is now retired. She said working with stroke victims, she would teach them to sing. She would say, "How are you this morning?" And they could sing that. because the right brain could still sing, but it couldn't speak. Is that interesting?
That's great.
Very, very interesting. In fact, some have said, when we think about the unconscious, where does it live in our brain and all of that, it has been said that instead of calling the right side our unconscious side, we should call it our non-verbal side. Because it is not that it is not conscious, but it has a consciousness of its own kind that is not put into words. When Paul in his workshops recommended Harville Hendrix's Getting the Love You Want, he talks about how we learn what love is before we're 18 months old, in the first year of life. But babies can't speak it. What is your earliest memory? You know, when you think of your earliest memory, how old are you when you remember that? You ever thought of this? 2 is about as far as you might go back. And many people can't go back past 3 or 4. And the reason is that we don't yet have the language to hold the memory where it's retrievable to us. But the memories before age 2 are there. But they're in the right brain, where it's a little more difficult to get to it. Does that make sense? Because anything we hold in our right brain, in images, and music, all of those pieces, we have to translate into words in order for us to access them with our left brain. Any questions about that? I still had a little difficulty understanding this myself until I found this wonderful exercise. This is a little test that comes from a guy named Thurston. It's going to slide all over if I go that way. This is a slippery transparency. I keep putting everything down. I think I would get it by now. Okay. I want you to look at these hands. I'm going to put my clock in all of them. Look at these hands. Which hand is it? Is it a left hand or a right hand?
Right hand.
Looking at each of the, each of the squares, yeah, looking at one and looking at the other. Yeah, solve that problem.
They're not all the same.
Right, they're not all the same. But you're looking, you're thinking. You can't solve this problem with your left brain. As you look at that and you judge it, you know what you're doing? You're imagining the hand, aren't you? You know, you're making an image of a hand and you're saying, oh yeah, right. You have to access this first with your right brain and then you translate it and you answer me. Is that too?
The process is different, yeah, doing that.
But to me, that helped me so much when I found this little test. It was like, oh yeah, now I get it. Because you can't reason this out. You have to put your hand. You have to feel it out, sort of. It's an image. It's
described as spiral staircase. You know, you can't. Everybody always.
Yeah, it goes like this. Oh, that's good. Oh, I have to remember that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, it's a spiral.
I do that. I'll tell you, I had a man in seminary with me. I asked him, I would talk with his hand, everything with his hand. I asked him to describe the spiral staircase with his hands in his pocket, and he says it starts.
To my notes. That's really good. I got one more image I wanted to show you. Get this off. Let's see. Let's turn it. Yeah, what is that?
It's like a gargoyle.
A gargoyle?
Question mark. Question mark.
The minute somebody says question, first I see bird. Then somebody says question mark, I see question mark. Yeah, cool. And then, let me do this. I tell you, my right brain doesn't work very well. It's taking me a long... Okay, there we go. This is what I want. What is that?
A seal
on the ball. A seal? Who said that? That is so good. That's what the book said.
Seal on the ball.
That is excellent. I don't think I ever would have come up with that. But that, indeed, I see it after you say it. I can see it, you know?
Look at the white.
Seal on the ball, can you see?
I don't see that.
That's not there. I loved this shape very much because what it shows us is there's many ways to look at something. And there's many different answers. And they're all right, you know, whatever there is in that image. So I enjoyed bringing that to you. All right. Did everyone get a handout, by the way? Let's see. Yes. At the bottom of your handout, you will that I had listed the three books that I most enjoyed after sifting through a lot of material on creativity. The one, I was at Roger Eck, is these things are coming from his works, which are listed there. A Whack in the Seat of the Pants is in the library. And I put it on reserve if y'all would like to go look at that. This guy is wonderful. And his books, A Kick in the Seat.
A Whack on the Side of the Head.
Oh, well, A Whack on the Side of the Head is the one. It's the whack that's in there. I really liked this guy very, very much. The second book that's at the bottom was also wonderful. But it is more geared toward a creative artist, I think, a writer, you know, somebody who's already well in touch with their creativity. But it's a beautiful, beautiful book. And I wanted to bring those resources to you for your trip down lake. You know, we must go back someday. For me, very soon. Do check in, especially to the first man that I listed. And what I enjoyed about him is that, here are my, for those of you that were at my other workshop, my inferior sensation is probably going to do me in here, where it's very difficult to see. He was saying, what is creativity? Let's think about that for a minute. What is creativity? What do you think of when you think of that?
Letting your spirit flow.
Let your spirit flow.
What's behind it?
It's close to spirituality in some ways. I'll offer you, I think we Americans, we think, or I'm guilty of it, but I used to think creativity was about artists. You know, artists who write, who paint, who dance, perhaps, something like that. But I hope that we all recognize that a person who cooks and messes with the recipe, you know, a person who gardens and decides what flowers here and what, these are all very creative acts. In fact, this man says, if you have ever raised or taken care of a child, you are a creative person because many things will come up you're going to have to think of ways to deal with. And what Roger Ork brings to us and points out is that there are, in fact, four roles, and I put them on your agenda so you didn't have to take notes about this. There are really four roles in creativity. The second role, I think, is the one people think of the most, the artist, the person that's actually creating something new or something you can look at. But I really enjoyed this. Those of you who are familiar with the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, or who were at my first workshop, you know that we all have gifts differing. We all have our best, we have our second best. We all have different gifts that we bring to the community. And I'll offer you today that each of these roles, which we'll talk about in a moment, call forth different gifts in people. And I'll on right now, I think I'm pretty good at exploring, which is what we're going to address first. I don't do those other three things very well, and I never actually produce much. You know what I'm saying? I'm a good explorer. I'll offer you, as you listen to these roles, as we talk to them, to think about which do you do well, which do you do less well. The things that we do less well, we could do more of and get better at and to become a more wholly creative person. We're going to go deeply into it, but I'll tell you, and the explorer is the one who goes out and looks for new things, looks for things that are new to you in new places, perhaps. The artist is the one that puts things together in new ways or actually does a creative thing. The judge is the one that says, now, is this really going to work? Is this practical? You know, what is the product like? And the warrior, what an interesting word, is the one that puts it out there in the world and makes it. Paul is going to be doing the lift at 9 o'clock Friday night. Paul has a CD of his Christian songs. He plays the guitar and he sings. He made up those songs during a very difficult time in his life. Now, that would be the artist part. You know, and funny, when I think about it, Paul, you went back and explored about where was there a music studio in Arlington. You know, he had to learn a lot about making a CD, which meant exploring new things he'd never done before. Then, after they laid down those tracks, they did a lot of work. That judge piece is, he says, I always say, you should make it perfect. He goes, it's not perfect, Jan. I think it's really good. But they worked really hard, he and the other musicians that worked with you and the producer and everything, to get it right. Now, that's the judging function. Is this one right yet? What else is it?
Boy, that's creativity, that shocked me.
The judge. Yeah. Oh, I know. And we will talk about exactly where you're going with that.
Okay.
Now what he's doing is putting it out into the world, getting the CD out. You know, we go to different churches and we do the presentation that'll be here on Friday night. Just kind of the marketing, the putting the creative process out there. All of that is a piece of the creative process of making music, in case you had never thought about all those pieces before.
I know what you're thinking.
But you're thinking judging stops the process. Is that what you know? It's like, yes. It's like, no. Not to judge too soon. Not to judge too soon. Because you're right. That internal critic will say, well, this is that. The 10-year-old that won't draw anymore. You know, she's judging what before she even explores the things on my table to see what possibilities might be there, right? Okay, do y'all have any comments so far? I gotta watch time because we're gonna actually do some stuff. I got this little didactic part to get us rolling here and thinking about things. Hey, I'm finally learning how to put them on. Okay, the Explorer, what's that about? In his book, Roger talks about looking for new connections, looking for new things, looking in the places we've been overlooking. And this is where it's got a connection with our unconscious mind, for us to ask ourselves, what places do I avoid? Where am I comfortable? And so I always go. And where am I less comfortable? He says things like, go to a conference outside your field. Have you ever done that? Go to something totally different. The geologist, I went to his workshop, it was fascinating, you know? Wow, it's outside my field. Went with our daughter to a dance conference. It was wonderful to watch those dance teachers teach. Have any of you have a similar experience? Go to where it's not comfortable. Uh-huh.
The cook yesterday said, he was telling us about all the different kinds of pieces, and I heard him talk about bacon or vegan. Well, I've never had a vegan pizza, so I went in there and tried a little bit. That's without the cheese. Without the meat.
Oh.
Wasn't too bad.
Oh. But that's neat. That's exactly what we're talking about. It's like, well, I've never had that. I think I'll go there. Now that River Sauna.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's talking River Sauna. Oh, I'm kind of feel convicted by my own workshop. I think maybe
I'll go down there.
He talks about have a fun file. Now this would be if you get a memo you think is funny or a picture that, you know, anything that just hits you, stick it in a file and have a file of resources like that that you can look at later. You know, whatever that comes up. Do y'all have something like that? Kind of a junk drawer of ideas. write your ideas down. He says, we all have these great ideas that come up for us in the shower or whatever, and we must write them down or we're going to forget them. And then we won't move on and ever do anything, you know? Do you have some stuff you think, I'd like to do that to the room in the house, paint the wall, do something?
I like to use a micro cassette recorder because I find that I get most of my ideas for some reason come when I'm driving a car.
Isn't that the truth?
And I like to have the cassette recorder right there and to be able to, before I lose it, you know, just kind of dictate it out.
You know, that makes sense to me because when we drive, our unconscious mind is really doing a lot of the work, you know, and it kind of frees us up, kind of a highway trance thing, you know, if you drive regularly in places you don't have to pay a lot of attention. It's interesting because our unconscious really does watch the road. Our unconscious is handling it if a danger comes up, you know. We don't have to pay attention to every shift of the gear or something like that. Brainstorming, mind mapping. Are y'all familiar with mind mapping? That would be where you, we talked about this in the dream workshop. If you dreamed about what kind of image, swan, that was what that picture looked like to me. Then you think to yourself, what comes up for me about swan? Well, how about zoo? And what comes up to any of y'all about swan?
Graceful.
Graceful.
Lake.
What?
Lake.
Lake. Yeah. Lake. Okay, what comes up for you about lake?
Holden.
See how you can just fill a page with just letting yourself think of how many connections. That's what he's talking about. We did that when Paul was trying to name his workshops, you know, we came up with the names of songs. It was like doing mind mapping kind of thing. It was just a way to kind of get the juices flowing. Break the routine. Do something different, like eat a vegan pizza. Vegan. Whenever I hear that again, I'll think of you. Do y'all have any comments about this? Sometimes the places that we don't go because we're not comfortable there could tell us a lot about ourselves. Okay, next one, the artist. I love this quote from Picasso. Every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist after he grows up. That's the problem, guys. There it is. Interesting thing about artists, oftentimes they're not creating something wholly new. You know, many artists we think of, performing artists or whatever, they've studied long and hard the tradition before them and the masters of whatever they do. Mostly it's putting things together in new ways, bringing something from over here and connecting it with something from over there that never went before. You know, taking a recipe and turning it into some other kind of thing altogether by adding different recipes. This is the tools of the artist. Reverse, connect, compare. Has anybody ever tried to make a bird bath? You know, you want a bird bath, you want to spend that much money. Yeah, yeah.
Anyone?
That's a creative act. That's saying, well, but how would you make it out of?
Cement and use a garbage can cover.
Uh-huh.
And then you pour cement in and then put the bottom on top to get the whole, you know, decorate it with stones.
Oh, I want to do that.
I read the directions. I didn't think of it.
But still, you created it. I mean, it does not matter. You know, you executed it. And that was the same thing that we're talking about. You created that in a new way. I mentioned that because that's something I want to do. That's in my file of things I want to do someday, you know? Anyway, do you get the idea here? About, doesn't have to, you know, I stop myself when I write because I think, I don't have anything to say that hasn't been said before. And then I don't write. I don't know what stops you. But I know that stops me. This was such a fun workshop for me. It was like I'm exploring a subject that I'm interested in and learning more about and how to do. Okay, the problem about the judge, as we mentioned earlier, is you can't judge it while you're starting out. You know, when you first slapped the cement on there, you couldn't just right then decide what it was going to look like in the end and chunk it. We've got to somehow turn off that inner judging that we have. And yet, if you're generating a whole lot of ideas, it does take judgment to decide which one to pursue. And judging is a creative act. When you want to buy something and you go to several stores and you look at you evaluate this product, this one, even your supplies. Shall I buy this kind of cement that sets quick or this other? That is a judging kind of function. And here are the parts of that. You know, the timeliness, you know, if I wanted to make something ceramic, do I have time to let it dry before it goes in the kiln? I mean, that's a judging kind of function that the artist has got to have if the product is ever going to happen. Do y'all have any comments about this?
That's the left brain, right? I always think of creativity, right brain.
What would you say about that? I'll defer to the
clinic. Well, making these kinds of decisions.
Would be bringing in the left brain into to mine the right brain for the ideas and the connections and the image.
Maybe it gives it form and,
And some people, in fact, I think on the Myers-Briggs, they talk about sensing types that are comfortable with the five senses, with facts, with experience, versus intuitives. We often think of intuitives as the creative ones. In fact, I've been to the Association for Psychological Type, where sensing types, the ones that were more grounded, practical kind of people, really letting the intuitives have it. Like, you think you're the only creative people in the world. You think that sensing types can, I mean, really, we intuitives have been blasted for that, because the truth is everyone is creative in their way. It is just that intuitives, the thought is, we are more comfortable with the right brain. We're more comfortable with knowing things. We don't know how we know. We have no proof at all, but we just trust that's right. That is probably the main difference, is trusting the messages from the right brain.
You know, I think the important part of this is that to not bring the judge in too quickly.
Exactly.
But to know also at the same time that this judging function is part of the creative process. It's when the writer does rewriting, because writing is a sculpting process. Of doing some rewriting, and songwriting is any kind of writing, that there's a sculpting process that goes on that refines it, and that that's what this is part of for me.
Absolutely. I'm remembering when you were editing the CD, you valued very much the input from the people that were saying, this note here,
well, sometimes I didn't like it.
But we need to retake this line here. And then, of course, what I was saying is the warrior is the one that brings the new idea into reality. But you know, it doesn't have to be like a marketing thing. What?
That quote is wrong from Yoda.
I caught you out of the book. What do you really say? Try? There is no try. There is only do or not do. You tell me Yoda didn't say that.
Yoda did not say that.
Oh, well.
What did he say?
It's not important. Go on the workshop.
Travis is a tape recorder. He can remember dialogue from movies like you would not believe. Well, if he didn't say that, he should have said that. I'm going to watch the movie just to find out. Try, there is no try. There is only do or not do. You know, and it's a small thing, but the birth act, you know, you made it happen. I mean, that is a creative act. Many, many ideas don't happen. So here's the question. Why don't we create more? But why do we not?
We're chicken.
Chicken. There's one. Anybody else?
Fear of failure.
Well, it's tough to sell. Now, a lot of people don't get it right away, and even if you're onto something, it takes a long time to really get people to where you got.
That's exactly right.
You know, I consider creativity to be more process than product, and our society emphasizes so that we need to produce a saleable, acceptable, desirable, valuable kind of product. And therefore, the process. And I'll give you an example. I dabble in oil painting, and I still have a terrible time painting over what I don't like.
Uh-huh.
And getting rid of it just because it's not going anywhere. You know, I'd be much better to start something fresh and new than to try and fix and make the thing perfect.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
But it's so true that when you focus on a product or when money is involved, it really just stifles the creative process, doesn't it?
I think so.
And I can see that in like the music industry in our country, that the more it is big business, the less creative music sounds. It becomes really predictable, canned stuff. And I think that's true in writing also, because I know for freelance writers, it becomes real hard to get published because it's just the big publishing companies, big names, and they're just products, and it really, creativity I see is really kind of getting stifled.
In fact, that's why self-publishing is getting to be such a big thing in both writing and in music, because the book companies will no longer take a risk like they once did because of financial concerns. You know, for artists, I'm very aware that those oil paints and everything cost money, and the canvas and everything, that's a point. I know you said to me for the couple of years you were working on the CD, thank you for your support, you know, this is like money down the drain or something, but to me, what could have been, you know, never was, because for him, I was so impressed this man was actually doing it, you know, actually bringing it to a place of total fruition there. I had a client who was an artist, and in fact he was offered a scholarship to college, full scholarship, and he did not do it because he could not bear, I'll just offer an artist, to have his paintings or his sculpture criticized by people. To have people walk by and look at them. He felt like it's my soul out there. And, you know, and it was very interesting. He is writing now. And last time I talked to him, and doing well. A very talented, extremely talented young man. And I wonder whether the writing doesn't give him more control. You know, it's more of a, it's not a piece of art that's done and there. And also he's not there, like you might be at a gallery or something. But I thought it was very sad that this young man did not go to school on a total four-year art scholarship. I think he still does some things, but it's very private, very hidden, very sad. And I am an excellent therapist, but I couldn't cure that, you know what I mean? So, One thing I would like to say, though, about this, and it's for me in my writing, is time. It takes time to be creative. I mean, when you're raising a family and you're working and you've got, it takes time. And that's a precious commodity. And something we need to give ourselves permission to say, I'm going to do my bird bath today. So you all take care of yourselves, or whatever you need to say about that. I once heard that preaching was 95% preaching to oneself. And that's how I feel when I do a workshop. Did you hear this, Jan? All right. This is about, if it is lack of courage, you know, what would give us courage? For us individually, here's these things that Roger wrote down. You know, would it give you courage to go ahead and create the thing that you most want to? If you had a, you know, these things. Any of you resonate with any of these examples? For the tape, I'll read them. Having a well thought out plan of attack. Past success, if you had done something once, doing might you come again? Big potential payoff, would that help you really go for something? Encouragement from other people, belief in yourself, faith in the idea, having a plan B, something you might do. I had a plan B for this workshop. If you precious people coming to this workshop and dinner was waiting, I tell you, what I might do there. Or having no other alternative. Which one speaks to you? Is courage an issue for you when you think about your creative acts?
Uh-huh. Well, I think belief in yourself seems to be the key idea. Though encouragement from other people, but sometimes other people can just be saying the words and just to be nice. Well, that's a nice, you know, well, that's, you know, but I think if you really believe it in your heart, it doesn't matter what other people think about it. If you like it, if you feel like this is coming from is it important to you? That's the most important thing.
Desire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the pleasure of doing and learning from what you have done, even if it doesn't work out or go the way, and it's not the painting and you're wondering. I understand that from a lot of writers, that when a novel is going bad, better to just stop and not keep trying to rewrite it. Anybody else? It was someone else?
Well, it occurs to me, based on several things that you've said, that one of the things that gives you courage to be creative is to somehow turn off the left side and let the right side free.
Yes.
So that, you know, how many of that list are left side things?
Excellent comment. Very good. I know in writing workshops what you do, Natalie Goldberg has a lot on this, you just write. 10 minutes, go. And don't worry about punctuation, just go. And I have heard that a lot, because that's a way to try to do an end run around the critic that says, that's not pretty, that's not the right word, you know, that's not, because you can't edit while you do. I have thought that word processors are great in terms of you can wipe out that sentence and redo, but they sure slow down my writing. Because I'm trying to fix it, you know, before I've even got it down. Paul keeps telling me, slab of clay. Schluck that slab of clay down there, you know, and just start kind of sculpting it. And you can go back and keep sculpting. And I just need to continue hearing that. Uh-huh.
I took a little mini workshop, but anyway, they said for writing, to turn your screen off and just type, and so you don't see any words.
Thank you.
You're not tempted to go back.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you so much for that.
So you get your hands in the right place when you're typing.
Check the fingers.
Well, I mean, I do that once in a while. My fingers get off a key or something else, so everything is...
Yeah, with the screen off, you might not catch it for a long time. I guess you could go back and discern. I don't know. You have this handout. I wanted y'all to be able to take this back with you. Art therapy is, and there are registered and certified art therapists, and I'm not one, but I do use art a lot. You don't have this handout, is it that one?
Yeah.
Okay, it is somewhere, Paul. I may have to send you to the chalet.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, it's not.
You don't have it?
No.
Oh, no. You know what? I don't think we brought this one down. Is it one of those? Yay, we have just found it.
Excellent. Watch the presenter have a panic attack right here. Because I really wanted to give you the scoop. Do this kind of stuff a lot with children. I love working with children. Children are great. They just do. I hand them the crayons, hand them the black and blank sheet. And, oh, Paul, you know what we did for good? Paper. Could you watch the show for me? I'm so sorry.
What, paper?
Yeah. Unless you have some...
Maybe in that...
Yeah, we could write on the back. We could read the back of your...
Do you have any more?
Oh, he is so good. Is this man good? I tell you.
He has very little ass.
I told you if you were at my workshop. We have more.
Pass them down. A couple more down there.
I wanted to share with you today one of these exercises, but essentially these are just, you know, one of many kind of things you do. How many people in here journal? I'm journaling right now. I bet you have journaled, whether we're actively journaling right now. In my journal, I love to add these things, even on the airplane. You know, on the airplane, airplanes are not my favorite. You know, I'm not sure God meant us to be up there so close. But I take my crayons and I sketch the airplane. Used to go to Colorado and here, too, to sketch the mountains. Helps a person like me that doesn't see very well to focus in. And I'll tell you, when they train you to work with children, they tell you, do not have shiny new crayons on your table. Because that gives the message to children, you've got to do it right. See, yes, be perfect. See this perfect crayon? But there are some with nice little points in here. Well, sort of. What I want you to do, we're going to do this number six exercise, is, and I say it both ways, y'all. I say mandala. Some people say mandala, and I don't know how Jung said it. I need to go home and look that up. Do y'all know?
Mandala.
Oh, thank you. I have insecurity about how I say that, but I know what it is. And in fact, I'm resisting drawing something in the sand right here. This is just too wonderful here in Creekside, isn't it? Basically, it's a circle drawing. And what we're going to do, I'm going to put on some music in a moment, get you ready for it. But essentially, what we're going to do is, did you pass out the blank paper?
No.
Okay. Right here? Okay, super. People can take as much as they want. I'm going to pass around the crayons. And the idea here is to don't think about this too hard. You know, we're trying to leave that left brain stuff behind us, right? I want you to pick five crayons. And each crayon is to represent one of these five spheres of your life. But don't think about this too hard. That's the trick, you know? Pick five crayons. One will be emotional, spiritual, intellectual, physical, and social. What I do on the, I do this regularly in my journal. What I do on the back is I write in the crayon I chose for social, I'll write social. And then I can tell the color later if I look at this mandala again, right? I have to tell you, I did one of these last night in my chalet, and I have never seen myself so balanced. And all the mandalas that I have done in the past couple, I was just shocked. I showed Paul. It was so wonderfully balanced. It's like, I said to him, this is not me. And he said, no, this is really you. You know, here in Holden, we can be really us in this marvelous place with this relaxation and good food. Good food. Anyway, everybody pick out five crayons. And if you want to, you could just grab five at random and then decide which is which, you know, if you want to do it that way.
Yes. You have it in your pocket, where is it?
I laid it here. Travis, do you see it?
Yeah,
we have a tape. What would I do without my tape?
Don't be judgmental.
Don't be judgmental.
Be the judge.
Don't be the judge.
Don't worry. No judgment.
This is our favorite take, absolutely. What we're going to do is put on this music, and I have these instructions up at the top. If you do take these marvelous exercises, gather your material. materials and put on some gentle instrumental music. It doesn't matter what the music is, but don't have it have words, because the words will distract your mind. Just be music. Music helps us connect with our right brain. We're going to take some cleansing breaths. After everybody's got their crayons, I'll, in fact, did y'all get the breath prayer handouts at Paul's workshop? I have some more of those, so pick up one of these before you leave. I was thinking what we might do creative spirit flow through me. We got the music back there? If you will with me, close your eyes a moment. Breathe in and out. Creative spirit, flow through me. Breathe in. Creative spirit, flow through me. Please, just enjoy drawing your mandala. in my life when I'm feeling frustrated, out of sorts, don't know what's going on, I'll do a mandala. And often it's a wonderful way to access the unconscious and see what's going on. Which area of life does it seem to be or whatever. I wanted to give you time, if we might, to share, if you'd like, what you have done. Or you don't have to share your drawing, but if you care to share, if you care to share your process, anything that comes up for you about this, was there anything difficult about it, or? Any surprise?
I forgot how much I love the smell of crayons.
Oh yes, the smell of crayons. I was enjoying the smell of crayons. Anything else? Anyone else? Keep these crayons and do it again. Do one of the other exercises again, whenever you wish. I put it in my journal, I put a date on it so that I can compare one mandala at a certain time to another. I feel about coming back from this exercise like I feel about leaving home on Saturday. I just would like to sit here in this marvelous room with the smell of crayons and continue to do. Anyone else want to share or say anything? It's just difficult for me to decide here, because one other aspect I wanted us to touch on was to get in touch with our playful and childlike sides again. And I think the smell of crayons can do it. You know, maybe some glue, that old white glue. Did you ever have that when you were little? Paul is outside because we have two other things we'd like to offer you. And if you wish, you can go and find the lasagna. But if you will, you have a handout that is a paper airplane. And I'll show you what it looks like when it's done. It looks like this. If y'all would like to make your paper airplane, I have glue and I have scissors. And Paul's out there preparing hand bubbles. Have you ever done hand bubbles?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a way to wash your hands before dinner. He's going to, you know, blow the bubbles. That's what he's out there doing, getting the right mix of glycerin for us. So I will invite you, if you will, to come with me. And let's go play a little bit, if you like.